can turn it around if we start accepting reality, and the population that is behind us, the young folks of America, they are believing it because it's going to hit them the hardest, of course, and we're going to tell you about some projects that are happening that are really quite inspiring and should be motivating the baby boomers, we baby boomers, to do more before we leave this planet, to start, as I say, taking some of the dirt off the pile, the mountain that we're continuing to shovel on. Lynn Sherry is my next guest. She is the author and or illustrator of over 30 award-winning books for children, and she's also the founder and director of the nonprofit group called Young Voices for the Planet. It's an organization dedicated to helping the voices of environmentally concerned young people be heard. She's also a movie producer. Her Young Voices for the Planet short films feature youth success stories, and that's what we're going to talk about with Lynn right now. Welcome to the Green Front.
Hi.
Great to have you on. Been aware of you and emailing with you for years now, and I don't think we've actually done an interview until now, and it's a good moment to do it because I think all of our listeners could use some inspiration, and you've been at this quite a while, perhaps as long as I have. Tell us a little bit about what has motivated you to be so prolific with your books and now these short films.
Well, I started out as a children's book author, illustrator, and I guess it was my book, The Great Kapok Tree, that really took off and got me on the map. And then I did a book with Gary Brosh called How We Know What We Know About Our Changing Climate, Scientists and Kids Explore Global Warming. And we wrote that because we wanted to present a non-scary book on climate change, and one that just went through the different scientists, you know, the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change scientists, and how they did their science, and have it be written on a fourth grade reading level so parents and congresspeople could understand it. So we did that book, and it was an award-winning book, but it didn't really make the kind of change, the societal change that we were hoping for. And I realized that if we were going to reach lots and lots of young people, that first of all, we had to have the voices of young people because they listened to their peers, and we needed to make films. And so I had this idea, and you know how it is sometimes when you get an idea that time has come, it just happens like an avalanche, and that's what happened.
I do know how that feels, yes. I got several ideas.
Yeah, so now we've produced 8 films, and they're very inspiring and empowering films about young people who have been making a difference, and they've been reducing their CO2 emissions in very different ways. And then there's also these sort of secondary benefits. So they'll be reducing CO2 by cutting down the use of plastic bags, and in doing so, saving sea life. Or they'll be working with a scientist in Siberia, like this girl Anya, citizen scientist in Siberia, and learning the science. Or Plant for the Planet, where Felix, who was he was 9 years old, a boy from Germany, and he started planting trees and then putting up a website. And through this viral website, he ended up planting 3 million trees through, you know, people seeing the website and agreeing to plant trees. And, of course, there's many benefits to trees, not just taking CO2 from the atmosphere. And probably the film that's been the most widely seen is Dreaming in Green, because that's about money. The girls in the film start out saying that of all the coastal cities in the world, Miami will suffer the greatest economic loss. And then they go on to think, what can they do? And they do an energy audit of their school, and they end up saving their school $53,000. The funny thing about that, yeah, pretty amazing, but the really funny thing about that film was one of the girls, Nicole, had a father who was very conservative, owned a lot of buildings in Miami, and he was making fun of them trying to do something about climate change. But when they saved that amount of money, he went out and replaced the air conditioning units in his buildings, and he had many buildings, with Energy Star air conditioners, and he saved himself lots of money.
I love that. We have a clip from the short film with Felix. He's just adorable, and he's the one who's planting trees. Here it is.
Today, I'm working together with thousands of other students in Germany and many other countries to plant 1 million trees in each country. We're going in the forest to plant trees, learn about different kinds of trees, lime trees and have fun.
We're here in the forest at near Duisburg, and we're planting some trees to help climate change.
We have already planted 290,000 trees in Germany, and 550,000 trees are already pledged. Now we've come here to do the tree climbing, which is the most fun part of the day.
I love that. How did you find your narrators? You came up with at least a half dozen short films that are so touching. Those are the ones I've seen on your website anyway. How did you find Felix all the way in Germany?
I think I read about him in the newspaper, but what's been happening is once I started making these films, everyone started sending me clips, you know, all my friends from all over the world. And on Facebook, too, you know, people will send me these news stories on Facebook. So it's just been a lot of different ways. The first kid, Alec Lors, I found through the Brower Youth Awards. Mm-hmm. He had applied when he was 12 years old. Those are given out by Earth Island Institute. And he was rejected because he was too young, but they suggested that I do a film of him. So the first one was Kids vs. Global Warming. He started the Sea Level Awareness Project and Declaration of Independence from Fossil Fuel, which he showed to Barbara Boxer in Congress, and we filmed all that. And he's now suing the federal government for not ensuring...
I love Alex. He's been on the show, and I was there when they kicked off their I Matter campaign in San Francisco on Mother's Day last year. He's so inspiring, and I've watched him, you know, really come into his own. He was, you know, always passionate, but in kind of a soft-spoken way, and now he's getting louder, which is terrific.
Yeah, and taller.
Very tall, yes. And I love his story, of course. He applied to be trained by Al Gore's Climate Project and was rejected because he was at that time too young. So he trained himself and became, you know, perhaps the biggest advocate as far as young people go. So good for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, another kid is a really amazing advocate. I haven't made a film of him, but he's my the next person I'm filming, Sean Russell. And he's in Florida. He started a group called Stow It, Don't Throw It. And he had a... He put on a conference with 150 young people, showing them how to make these recyclable. There are cans that you can put fishing line in so that they protect sea life and gets them out of the waste stream.
Another very impressive young person that you filmed is Olivia, and what she did in the wake of the BP oil spill because of her love for birds and concern. Here's a clip.
We should stop offshore drilling, stop relying on other countries. Have you ever seen a solar panel break down and it ends a whole ecosystem, destroys a whole way of life for people and animals? Have you ever heard of a solar spill? You don't have to do what I did, but everything that you do for our planet counts.
Yeah, just made my day watching her. And how many paintings did she actually make? 500 pictures.
Yes.
I don't know how that's possible, because these were not, you know, just kind of quick and dirty pictures. She is quite an artist.
Oh, she's amazing. In fact, in the movie, watching her paint that wood thrush, she's using my book Food's Journey as a model. But here she is, 12 years old, and she's doing it almost perfectly. You know, this beautiful illustration of the wood thrush. She's going to have an exhibit of her art at the Ned Smith Gallery up in Pennsylvania, and we're going to have the films on a continuous loop at that exhibition in April.
She and her family went to Washington and met Ken Salazar, the Interior Secretary, so she made quite a name for herself with this.
Yeah, I mean, that message that young people can go and talk to their elected officials and tell them they want them to ensure their future, I mean, how powerful. I think that's just such an important message.
And I think she got a letter from Bill Clinton, and I think the fact that they are young and they are sort of coming into their own, you know, leadership is so moving to people that instead of getting less attention, they actually get more than just another adult.
Yeah, what's been surprising to me is the reaction of audiences, especially grown men, because these make grown men cry. the men come up and they have tears streaming down their faces. I think what happens is the young voices, you know, that hear these children, and, you know, anyone who has children, you know, you love your children.
Oh,
and to see these children, yeah, fighting for their future is just very, very moving. And so the films have that effect on adults and moving them, realizing they have to do something. You know, the kids are asking them to help and they've got to help. But on the other hand, the kids, they just get empowered by the films. They just get motivated.
And it seems like they're almost saying, not necessarily in these words, but the message is to the grown-ups, grow up, you know, take some responsibility before we inherit this mess. Do your part.
Yeah, that's right. That that we have to help. They can't do it all themselves. They need our help. Yeah.
Well, considering that we and generations before us, you know, have contributed to the problem, and they're just inheriting it, we should, it seems to me, do everything we can while we can to, you know, slow it, if not, you know, stop it and start to turn the ship.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I'm hoping that people will do is they can go on the Internet. They can actually see these films on our website, youngvoicesfortheplanet.com, and they can share these films with their communities, with, you know, universities, schools. They're in a lot of film festivals, but the more people who see them and get and are moved by them, I think the more likely it is that the kids are going to get more empowered, and that they will, just like with, when you think of recycling, seatbelts, stopping smoking and stopping littering, those were all social movements that were started because of kids in school. And so
unfortunately, with the tobacco
people,
fight, we're seeing some similarities and some similar interests, you know, fight climate change.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's the same groups trying to obfuscate, but it's going to be the same youth activism that's going to really win this, I think, for us with climate change. They're going to force a price on carbon.
Well, at least where I live, here in the fairly progressive, healthy Bay Area, I rarely see a smoker anymore. So hopefully it will be as socially unacceptable to drive a big polluting SUV, 10 years down the road, if not sooner. Not to mention who can afford gas for that kind of tank with gas prices, at least around here, around $4 a gallon.
Yeah, and, you know, like Olivia, I think she realizes that, and also Alec, you know, with his Declaration of Independence from fossil fuel, they realize that it also has to be a systemic approach, that you have to put a price on carbon. And I made a movie, a longer movie of Alec that I'm hoping to get on PBS, still working on it, but he interviews James Hansen, and that's exactly what Hansen, when Alec asks him, well, you know, what's the most important thing we can do? And Hansen says, we have to put a price on carbon, so it's a level playing field.
Exactly, and yet, you know, just saying a tax on anything in this political climate is, it's killer. They just think that they'll, I guess, lose their, you know, positions as representatives if they do something so unpopular. And yet, you know, leaders are supposed to lead us, and we have a crisis to deal with. So someone's got to show some courage and say, this is the only way we're going to start to turn the ship, is to have, you know, a carbon, if you don't want to call it tax, call it a fee.
Well, also, you know, I think these kids have the right idea in looking at these win-win situations. So all these movies are win-win. So, yes, you're reducing CO2 emissions, but you're also making money. And just like with, you know, reducing CO2, it's going to end up creating jobs. It's going to, you know, spur a whole new industry in renewable energy and sustainability. So if we can identify these win-win scenarios, as the young people in the movies have, that's really the way we can move forward.
So are you doing environmentally themed books and movies exclusively now?
I haven't done a book in about 4 years, but what's really exciting is I've just written a textbook to go with the films that National Geographic is interested in. We're showing it to them next week, and a number of other publishers. And we're working on a curriculum for Whiteboard, which is like an interactive whiteboard, like a smart board, with National Geographic that will go into the schools. And so this, it's a book, but it's a book and film combination that will go right into the schools and tie into STEM education, you know, science, technology, math, and engineering, and with the subjects that they already need to teach. So that's a pretty exciting project.
Isn't it puzzling to you? It is to me to see, even where I live, you know, parents who do so much for their, you know, beloved children, and who are not really making changes in their lifestyles to present, you know, a better scenario as far as environmental future for their kids. It's almost like, well, the kids are going to have to deal with it. It's like, how do you do that to someone you love more than life? And, you know, how unfair is that to just wait till, you know, the next generation figures it out, hoping technology will solve the challenges or something, you know, kind of illusionary like that.
Mm. Yeah, it is a religious belief in technology, and I think that's going to really be our demise. We have to just start thinking more in terms of conservation. And a lot of people I've heard, who really do think of the technological bullet, you know, believe in that, have poo-pooed the idea of conservation. But when you look at these girls saving $53,000 in that one school, like, if you could, in every school, if you showed this film and you had energy audits in every school and there were funds to make your school more energy efficient, and that was part of the philosophy of how you live in the school with turning the lights off, and those kids get this into their head that this is the way you live, and they bring that home. I mean, we could be cutting the energy use in schools easily by one third or one half. We could stop the idling of school buses, which also has a lot of really great health benefits. Like, kids were getting sent home from school because of asthma attacks, and when they stopped idling the school buses, the asthma rate just plummeted. So actually making kids sick through school bus idling, plus all this fossil fuel. So the schools are saving
being
money.
Being wasted.
A whole teacher salary. No?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so imagine so many this things. Just at every school.
There's so many things we need to do, and if conservation is a low-hanging fruit, we better start picking it, because we're still not doing so much of what, you know, can be done till we get to the hard stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's been really heartening for me is when these schools show these films, and there have been many schools that are showing them school-wide, what they'll do is they'll have, most schools want to do service or civic engagement projects now. You know, because for kids, if they're going to go to college, they need to start thinking about that sort of service. And so the kids pick a project, and it can be one of the projects in the films, or it can be another more local project, you know, that's more relevant to their school. But in any case, they're doing something that's going to make a difference in, you know, giving back. Now, when this happens, where the kids are, you know, doing these projects, that it really just seems to transform the whole culture of the school. And then it spills over into the community. So I'm really hopeful that if we can get these films into the schools and these kids can be our role models, that it will change in the way that we need to change things.
I mean, just wrap up. We just have about 1 minute left. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to tell you the story about this kid whose father was a CEO, and he ended up saving his whole company a huge amount of money because of his kid.
Wow. So people can find out more at your website at voicesfortheplanet.com.
It's youngvoicesfortheplanet.com.
Youngvoicesfortheplanet.com. Thank you so much for what you're doing for the planet, Lynn Cherry.
Thank you.
Inspiring us by bringing us these young voices and stories. And the films are really nicely done. You know, kudos to you.
Very much.
And if you'd like to hear the show in its entirety, if you joined us midway, you can go to the Progressive Radio Network or thegreenfront.com for all the archives. See you next time.